All right. Is there anybody here who was ever promised a gift for Christmas and you believe that you were going to get that gift as soon as you got that promise? Anybody like that? Okay. Now, that promise that you have received about that gift didn't change your behavior. Because when your mother or your father said, look, if you keep acting like that, you can forget about getting that thing for Christmas. Did you kind of straighten up a little bit, just enough in order to make sure you got the promise? All right, so that promise influenced how you felt. Then came Christmas morning, and when you opened your gift and you saw that promise, it was like, yes, that promise had become a reality. Now, in the Bible, you will hear people talking about the promised land. You ever heard somebody say the promised land? All right. God gave Abraham and Sarah a promise. He promised them that their descendants or their children, great, 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 great grandchildren way down there, were going to receive this beautiful section of a country that would be wonderful for living. The grass was going to be green. The land was going to produce a lot of food and crops. There'd be plenty of water to drink, plenty of water for the animals, plenty of land to graze and eat fruit. The fruit was going to be bigger than anything you had ever seen. The grapes would be luscious, more plentiful than anything you could imagine. Those of you who love to eat, you would have enjoyed being in the promised land. And not only that, they were going to be a free people, free to make their own laws, free to worship God as they please. Now, sometimes, or this promised land was located in the area called Canaan. So sometimes people talk about going to the land of Canaan. That's why we sing songs about Canaan, because Canaan and the promised land were the same thing. Now, there was one catch in God's promise. God told them that before your people get this promised land, they were going to be slaves in Egypt for 430 years. That's the amount of time they would spend in Africa. So while they were going through the midst of their trials and the midst of their struggles, and while they were slaves, what kept them going was they had a vision of a promised land where one day they were going to be free. Now, every one of us here, we live our lives based on the promised land that we are looking forward to. Now, if I just had a whole bunch of money in my pocket and I pulled it out and I gave each one of you $10,000, that's probably all the time some of y'all would shout amen in church. But if I gave you, Mike, you would really get your 15 minutes of praise in. If I gave each one of you $10,000, come next Sunday, some of you would already be broke. You would have took that money and went to the mall and you would have just went crazy. Some of you would have took that same $10,000 and saw it as an investment for your education. Some of you would have taken that same $10,000 and started a business with it. And you would have turned that $10,000 into $100,000 or more. It all, how you spend that money all depends on what you think is the real promised land for your life. Now, Martin Luther King Day is not simply about a single man. It is about a struggle of black people for nearly 400 years in existence in this country. Now, when I was born some 50 years ago, people were murdered because they tried to move into a white neighborhood. They were killed simply because they wanted to integrate schools. Churches were burned, they were bombed because they encouraged people to get out and vote. Black men, they disappear in the country, some of them would be lynched, you'd never hear from them again. Black women would be raped, and sometimes even though they knew who the rapists were, nobody even got arrested. There were very few blacks in any of the major league sports. I think it was either Jet or Ebony. They would post each month who was in what major league sport. And it didn't take a lot of pages in order to see who was there. The only time we got jobs in the banks was when we were the janitors. You know, it's amazing how for years they used to say how we would steal anything we could get, and they would leave us alone with everything in the bank, and they'd go home so we could clean it up. We all lived in, blacks were considered inferior in just about every way you can imagine. We were second-class citizens in our own country. And we as black folk, we all lived together, we all worked together, we all went to school together. What, because we all loved each other, because we didn't have no other option but to do that. Amen? And then Dr. King came along and he gave us a dream of what could be for the races. And that speech was given in 1963. But it didn't change anything after the speech was over. We all shouted and said amen, but the work still needed to be done. There was still blood that was going to be shed. There were still battles to be fought. There were still places to be burned down. There were still people who had to go to jail. There was still a whole lot of abuse and humiliation before this nation would even consider the dream. Now, what motivated us to keep fighting was the belief that there was a promised land involved in all of this. As Billy said, when Dr. King said, I've climbed the mountain, I have seen the promised land. And that promised land was a place that we as a people would be in charge of our own destiny. We would soar in our education levels. We would live where we wanted to live. We would compete in whatever sport we wanted to compete in. We would be lifted out of poverty and have a much higher standard of living. We would be second to nobody and would be able to stand toe-to-toe with any race, any color, or any creed of people. Now, in our Old Testament reading today, we found that Moses wanted to see the promised land because Moses was going to die before the people got into it. So God allowed Moses to go up to the top of Mount Pisgah. Now when you see a church named Mount Pisgah, you're like, what are these people talking about? They're talking about the mountain that Moses went up to the top of in order to look and see the promised land. From the mountaintop, he could get the big picture of what God intended to do for his people. And Moses said, this thing is absolutely wonderful. So when Dr. King said in his speech, I've been to the mountaintop, he was simply paraphrasing what Moses had said there in Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy, Moses, he actually saw land for the promised land, whereas Dr. King saw the promised land in terms of a new way of living, a new way of relating to one another, a new way of living in society. Now, if you could go and find Dr. King and bring him back today and ask him about the vision of the promised land, he would probably be shocked to see the promised land he saw and the promised land that we live in. Amen? Now let me be the first to acknowledge that God has brought us a whole long mighty way since I was born 50 years ago. Amen? We can vote. We can be elected. We can attend the schools of our choice. We can live wherever we want to live. We can sit anywhere on the bus, so most of us still sit in the back. We can play professional sports. We can be on TV. We can have high-paying jobs. We can do things that our grandparents only dreamed about doing, amen? Matter of fact, there is not another group of black people anywhere on the face of the earth that lives at the same standard of living as African Americans do in this country. Even the poorest among us would be considered somewhat wealthy by the majority of the people in the world. We have opportunities in front of us with unlimited potential. And yet I still believe Dr. King would be appalled at the promised land that so many of us have chosen to live in. As bright of a people as we are, I just don't understand why only 58% of our young people can graduate on time. As intelligent as black men are, knowing that we live in a corrupt judicial criminal system, why would one in three of us allow ourselves to get caught up in that system? With over 350 years of slavery behind us, how did nearly a million of us end up locked up behind bars with no more freedom than the plantation slave had? We have a history of women in our past cultural life, Harriet Tubman, who risked everything she had in order to lead her people to freedom. And yet today we have far too many of our young women trading their precious bodies for crack and cocaine. You know, we live in a world that talks about it's the church rebel. Some people, they don't do church. How many of you know if the black church had not existed, there would have been no civil rights movement? The civil rights movement was grounded in prayer in the church. We couldn't have pulled this thing off if God hadn't been on our side. And yet today we got a whole generation of blacks that don't even know what the inside of a church looked like. You know, Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. What has been will be, and what will be shall be again. Back in the days of slavery, there used to be an overseer who would carry a whip and a gun. And he kept everybody in line out of fear. How many of you know we still got overseers today? Oh, and today they are the drug lord. They're the gang leader. Who use us, keep us in fear, use us to make their own pockets wealthy. And back then, when the overseer called us niggas, we knew they were putting us down. Now when the gang leader says, that's my nigga, we think we done got a promotion. The white master, he used to call our women and young girls into his quarters, their bodies for his pleasure, send them back out in his fields to work, make money for him, clean his house. He could care less if they got pregnant or not. He had no intention of fathering any of those kids he produced. He could make love to the woman one minute and beat her for something ridiculous before the day was over. How many of you know we still got masters? Only today we call them pimps and the love. At least back then, our women were smart enough to know they were being abused and they despised the master for it. Today we got our young women talking about, he loved me. And she has a child from this guy who's just using her for a little while. He has no intention of staying around. How do I know he has no intention of staying around? I listened to the music. He said he's in love with a stripper. Only one child in three is going to be born black and be born in a house where they call each other husband and wife.
Yes, sir.
I was in the store the other day, and this young guy couldn't have been more than 17 or 18 years old. He was talking to the cashier, and he was talking about drama. His three babies, different mamas, was causing him in his life. I felt like causing him some drama like young women ain't done nothing with. Three lies. No, four lies messed up. No, six lies. All three of them women, all three of them kids. You know, you may be thinking that you look at your parents and you think it's easy to be a single parent. It ain't easy being a single parent. I don't care how old you are. You need a lot of people to help you out. You know, it's possible for God to have something great in store for your life and for you to miss out on it big time. You see, the problem with many of us is the size of the mountain we climb in order to see the promised land. Some of us, our mountain is so low that when we climb up over it and we, ooh, this is the good life. There ain't no good life. You're still in poverty. You need a bigger mountain to climb so that you can see a bigger promised land out there in front of you. As you are a teenager, you need to base your decisions based on where you want to be when you're 25.
Come on now.
If you see yourself at age 25 with a college, degree with a great paying job and the ability to go anywhere in the world without attachments, then you climbing a mountain that's worth climbing. It's not going to be easy getting to the top, but you're going to enjoy being up there. That's what you do in order to see the promised land.
That's right.
But if you got a mighty small mountain as your goal, your girlfriend, your boyfriend want to have sex with you, you only think about the next half hour. You don't think about the narrow disease. You don't think about pregnancy. You don't think about the child support payments that you ain't going to get. You don't think about the fact that this person's going to be gone by this time next year. All you thinking about is, when I do this, how's she going to love me? How are you going to love me?
Again.
Now let me tell you, if you're going to be rebellious enough to reject what God has for your life, then at least be smart enough to use some condoms and some birth control. Yeah. But remember this, these things don't guarantee you anything. Whenever we plan to choose to sin, we can never control the consequences. God always determines the consequences, and life is not fair. You may say, well, I know my friend, she did this, he did that, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Say yet.
Yeah.
Nothing happened yet.
Yeah.
You see, sin has a way of coming back to haunt us when we least expect it.
That's right.
You have a situation where you started your sexual activity at age 14, and man, you were so glad you made it through, and you didn't get pregnant, and so forth and so on. Now you're 25. You finally found somebody who really appreciates you for the woman or the man that you are. The two of you get married, and now y'all want to have kids. Only now you discover cervical cancer, herpes, that had its root back when you was going wild at 14. See, we can't always predict these kinds of things. That's why it is better to do it God's way the first time.
Yeah.
So that you might be free.
God's way.
Now those of us who are married, single, we need to be climbing a mountain that allows us to see 5 years down the road. Now one thing about my wife, it gets on my nerves, is that she likes to see where things are going to be 5 years from now. And she says, now, wait a minute. If we keep on doing this now, 5 years from now, it's not going to look real good. So we need to sit down and talk about what we're doing now so that when we get there in 5 years, it can be a place we both wanted to get to. So in other words, I need to change what I'm doing right now in order for that day to be the good time. Now, don't forget this. None of us know how much time we got left to be the person God wants us to be. Where do you want to be 5 years from day to day in God? What does your promised land really look like? When God called Moses to go to Egypt, go back to Egypt, to lead the people into the promised land, how many of you know God fully intended for Moses to get to the promised land? Matter of fact, God intended for all, there's about a million people to get to the promised land. Them jokers hadn't been out there 6 weeks before they started fussing and complaining. God finally brought them right up to the promised land and said, there it is, go for it. They said, we can't go in there. are too strong. There's no way we can defeat them. Oh, we wish we was back in Egypt. Oh, our kids are going to die. All of us are going to die. God, he got sick and tired of God's blue. You rejected my promised land. Tell you what, for the next 40 years, y'all are going to wander out here so that all of y'all 20 and older, can just die out. You can die where you said your kids were going to die. Now, they rejected this offer from God. Many of you here today, some of you are incredibly gifted. Some of you are extremely bright. Some of you are very intelligent. Some of you got great people skills, but you've already rejected the promised land God has for your life. You sincerely believe you don't really need the Lord in your life. That's the reason you done got to be an old man. You might need the Lord, but I'm still young. I don't need him right now. I can guarantee you this. There is a day coming when you will need the Lord. And it might be here sooner than you think. Now we all looking at each other. We just looking as nice and pretty as we want to. But we don't know it. But right now, one of us could have an aneurysm growing on our brain. And if it's me, before I even finish this sermon, I might be gone. Paul, you come on up here and finish the sermon for me. And y'all carry on. I'm going on to heaven. But it might be you.
That's right.
You don't know how long is you got left to live.
That's right.
I think the youngest funeral I did, the child was 6 weeks. I think the oldest funeral I did was Brother Jones. What was he, 105, 106? Is there anybody here in between there anywhere? Raise your hand if you're somewhere in between there. Okay, so you're a lead candidate for being next. Now, others of us, we want the promise, but we won't let go of that which is holding us back. Now, here's one of the things we don't like to hear in the church. But the scripture says that if you are a believer in Christ, you don't have any business falling in love with somebody that don't want anything to do with God. You're just asking for trouble.
That's right.
You got a girlfriend and she won't come to church. You got a boyfriend and he won't come to church. God says it's time to say goodbye. Because that ain't going nowhere. Scripture says, what does light and darkness have in common with each other? I know what you're saying, but you don't know how sweet she is. You don't know how sweet he is. I believe he's real sweet. I believe she's real sweet. But I also believe that every one of us got a heart that is capable of all kind of stuff in it. And if Jesus is not in control of that heart, it's going to be a mess. I know. You'd rather listen to the love stories. I'm in love. I've been in love for 26, 7 years with the same woman. And she is outstanding. And I'll be the first to tell you.
Thank you, Lord.
And she will tell you the exact same thing about me. Oh, yes, he can breathe a sermon. But you don't live with it like I do. I'm telling you, relationships are alive in I tell you. One day after church had been gone and I came back to the church and nobody knew that I had come back into the church. And I heard this person say, I don't care nothing about cursing in the church. And then they said, what was that noise? And he looked around the corner and said, oh, that's just Pastor Rick. I didn't say anything. I just headed back down the door and went on back out. I never will forget. One time I called one of y'all on the phone, and I called just after you had yelled at a former lover. I called, did I tell you not to call me? No, suddenly, nothing, nothing, I said, ain't gonna tell y'all which one it was, but like I said, your sin will surely find you out. What would happen if you were more interested in impressing your teacher than impressing your friends in the classroom? Your grades would get better. Your homework would get done. You would have an attitude positive out of this world. But you see, if your promised land is climbing this little miniature hill in order to be the class clown, how many of you know you got to do it? The thing about God is that God requires more of us when he gives us more to work with. Moses had a very intense relationship with God. He would go into prayer with God in the tent of meeting. He'd come out and his face would just be glowing. Just have this golden glow all around it. People would just stare at it. So Moses had to start wearing a veil over his face so people would stop staring at him. When Moses said something was going to happen, it was going to happen. Him and God, they were tight. They were as close as you could possibly get. So how does this mighty man of God miss his opportunity to go into the promised land? He has been dealing with these folks for 40 years. And it's the 40th year, and it's just about over. And the people, they still complaining about petty things. And Moses was sick and tired of it. You ever got sick and tired of hard-headed folk just dealing with them all the time? Okay, if you have, be careful. They might be setting you up. Here these people were, they're out in the desert, they're complaining, man, we wish we had died in the desert. We wish we had never come out of Egypt. Why in the world did you bring us out of Egypt in the first place? This place is miserable. There ain't nothing to eat. There ain't nothing to drink. Now these folks are blaming Moses for the condition he is in. They are in. And when Moses told them, let's go into the promised land, what did they say? We ain't going in there. But now they want to blame somebody else for the predicament rather than take responsibility for their actions. You know, now, you and I know that racism is real. Amen? Racism is real. And any black person that tells you racism has been solved, they've been asleep way too long. Give them some help some kind of way as they need it. But even though racism is real, our problem is not always racism. We are not in the promised land that Martin saw because of us. Tell your neighbor, you might be part of the problem. You know what? White people ain't the one coming into our neighborhood stripping the metal off our houses. I don't care which way you go up 105 or St. Clair. You do not see white boys selling drugs on the corner. You don't see them. They might be bringing it in, but they ain't selling it on the corner. We're the ones that's doing that. And how can we not report them? That's my uncle's son over there doing that. that's forcing us to have babies? You know, if you look at most of our babies, they look just like us. Like me. Which means there was another one of us involved in this thing happening. White folks aren't making us quit school. We quit because we want to quit. Racism doesn't have anything to do with it. I don't like my teacher. So what? What does that have to do with you moving ahead? All you need to do is count the months. I don't like that teacher. I only got 8 more months to put up with it. I only got 7 more, 6 more, 5 more, 4, 3, 2. Now, Oprah took a lot of heat for saying she was tired of trying to help inner city kids when all they wanted was an iPod.
Right.
Now, she's telling the truth. You see, there is nothing wrong with wanting an iPod. But if that's what your mountain is, it's too small. You need to want to own the store that sells it. Spending my money on a group of kids that wanted education. Most of us, we don't need more government dollars. And I was going through the mail the other day, and I saw this letter from the county, and they wanted me to distribute this flyer. It was about a pregnancy program, and it said, if you are pregnant, if you come in for your first checkup, you get a $10 gift coupon. If you come in for the second one, you get a $20 gift coupon. If you come in, I'm thinking, now wait a minute. If you were mature enough to have gotten pregnant in the first place, why should somebody have to pay you money to tell you to come to make sure you are all right and the baby is all right? I just don't understand. And then they're going to pay you each time you bring the baby in to get each shot that the baby needs, each checkup that the baby needs. And then if you complete them all, they got like a $100 gift coupon.
Oh, wow.
Why does somebody have to pay us to take care of ourselves? Pay us to take care of our own children? We don't need more dollars. We need bigger mountains to climb so that we can see a bigger promised land. These people were demanding more water. Moses and Aaron left the people. They went to God for an answer. God says, Moses, take the staff you got. Gather all the people together, and in their sight, speak to the rock, and water will come out of the rock. Moses takes his staff, gathers all the people together, and Moses is just so upset with these folks. He is really angry with them. You ever been really upset with somebody when you just wanted to tell them off in a Christian kind of way? Well, that's how Moses felt. Moses was so upset, he takes his staff and he says, listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock? And then Moses says, wah, wah, and all this water comes gushing out. And all the people get more than enough water that they want to drink. But Moses had lost the humility he had before God. For the first time, we see Moses trying to make himself the center of attention. He said, shall we, talking about him and Aaron, bring water out of this rock? How do you know he had no ability to bring anything out of that rock? Probably couldn't even have moved the rock. Second thing he did was, God said, speak to the rock. He walloped that thing a couple of good times. He here or wallop somebody upside the head and then wish you hadn't done it? If Moses is out there, y'all need to just be honest. Moses got what he wanted. He got a chance to let his anger go for a moment. But Moses also got more than he wanted. He lost his chance to go into the promised land. God says, because you did not trust me enough to honor me in the eyes of these people, you will not bring them into the land that I gave you. You see, Moses thought, well, what's the big deal if I deviate from what God said? It's just a rock. But we learn in the New Testament that it wasn't just a rock. New Testament says the rock was Christ. Took Moses 5 minutes to lose the promised land that God had for him. And all he had to show for it was he got to release his anger for 5 minutes. Moses could have said, you know, God, if these people hadn't been acting the fool and causing all this drama, I never would have done it. I mean, you know, God does not hold us responsible for what somebody else does. He only holds us responsible for what our actions are. Stopping a little fight out here in the hallway today. Well, when she got in my face, then I got in her face. She'll be trying to be the one to sing the solo next time in the choir. When Jesus said, I come that you might have life, what do you think he meant by that? You think Jesus just came so that we could go to heaven, have a mansion in the sky, by and by? See, if that's what you believe, you're not going to really try to live for God. What Jesus was saying is, look, this world is going to sell you a bill of goods. You're going to be killing yourself trying to get this, that, and the other thing. And in the end, you're going to find out this stuff really ain't going to matter. In the process, though, you will have lost your soul. He also says that in life, we are going to get pretty banged up. Any of you ever been banged up by life? Yeah, it's going to leave us pretty banged up. Sometimes our hopes, our dreams are going to be shattered. Our hope is going to be gone. Then what are we going to do? You see, all of us were created to be in a relationship with God. And until we get into that relationship, we're just going to have some struggles that we don't really need to have to put up with. We all think we got a good way to just make it through life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Following Jesus isn't just a one-time decision that we make. It's a day.